Welcome to the Community Podcast from your friends at The Community Paper. I'm Nick Trocutio, Managing Editor, and I'm here with one of our amazing writers, one of my favorite writers, please don't tell the other writers, Juliet Kahn. Juliet, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's awesome to be here.
I'm so happy we finally got to do this. I finally get to put you in the hot seat and ask you questions because you're such an incredible interviewer, and I love the stories, the personal interest stories that you do, and we'll talk about all of those. In a
awesome.
Moment.
Yeah, yeah. And it's definitely different being in the hot seat. So still getting used to it.
I mean, I'm not smiling nefariously at all. So I did want to, before we get started, I did want to call out Winter Park Playhouse. They're one of our sponsors, one of our supporters, one of our advertisers, and they do some really great work in the community. They are usually doing a season of six musicals, all professionally done musicals here in Central Florida up at their facility in Winter Park, but not this year because they are redoing that facility. They just got the money for it. We wrote a story about it. Everything's official, and they're going through with the construction. It's going to be way better. It's going to be such an incredible facility, but they didn't want to skip a season. So they're doing their season over at the Shakes, at the Mandel Theater over at the Shakes. So it's even closer to us. We could walk there, Juliet. We could go walk and see a show there.
That sounds great. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to walk there. I'm going to drive because there's plenty
I'll
of
probably
parking. It's really still a little bit hot.
Good to know.
It'll cool off eventually. But the show they have going on through October is, I don't think this is like, I don't know that they meant for this to happen, but it's a musical comedy. It's a bunch of different songs, sort of a quartet of guys getting together. And the story is that these guys didn't make it when, you know, in the 50s, when they were doing this harmony group that they were doing. But they get back together in the afterlife for one final shot at glory.
Oh.
So it is a little bit like a Halloween kind of thing, but it's very upbeat.
Yeah.
And they sing songs like Three Coins in a Fountain, 16 Tons, Chain Gang, Heart and Soul, the stuff that, you know, is really fun to listen to at these types of events. I'm going, obviously.
It's my favorite holiday, actually. I love Halloween.
Halloween? So you want to go see this with me, even though it's not necessarily like a bunch of Halloween songs?
I'd be down.
Okay. Yeah. We'll go to see this. They're also doing still their cabaret series, their Spotlight Cabaret series. So they'll have one of those going on October 15th and 16th with Desiree Montez. For more information about everything that Winter Park Playhouse is doing, winterparkplayhouse.org. And again, they're going to be over at the Mandel Theater at Orlando Shakes. That's over at Lock Haven Park. So let's get to some stories with Juliet. Juliet, you worked on our cover story for the August issue. It was called Reflect and Connect in Service of Our Seniors. It was actually a combination of a bunch of different stories that we put together about the senior community here in Central Florida, how important it is to us. And we tried to do a number of different things. But one thing that you really wanted to hit on was the work that you've done with the seniors at one of your jobs.
Yeah. So for about a year, I worked at the Lutheran Towers of Orlando, and it was such an eye-opening experience for me. I worked as waitstaff in the first floor fountains dining room, and I really connected with everybody there, whether it was with my fellow coworkers or with the seniors that live in the building. I really, in a lot of ways, built a little second family there.
What was one of the more interesting stories or interactions that you had while you were there?
In terms of writing the story or in terms of like when I worked there?
Both. Yeah.
Both. I mean, definitely in terms of working there, I think just like the small, simple interactions that I had with the people that live there really like warmed my heart, whether it was them just checking in on my life to see like how I'm doing or vice versa. You know, they always told me about like how their families are, what their families are up to, what they're up to, you know, and later in the day, they were always so excited about like bingo night or whatever events were coming up. And I just really got to know them as people. And I think that's what I treasure most. And so this actually connects back to how I ended up writing this story, because as soon as I came back, you know, I ended up being there for like 3 or 4 hours because I kept running into person after person. And it was like, you know, talking with grandma and just like checking in and seeing. And yeah, so it was a really wonderful story.
And speaking of talking to other people, that's one of the things that we love about you and your skill set. So you have started a new column for us. It's called In Good Company. It's based on a column that a reader saw in another magazine in Portland, Maine. It's called The Bollard is the magazine. Theirs is called The Regulars. Their column is called The Regulars. And it's about people who are customers that go back again and again to a specific place. And the first place that you went and saw and experienced, I don't know if it was for the first time, was a Kaleidoscope over in
Portland. It
was
my first time. Yeah. So it was really cool there. Funny enough, when I actually went to interview Kyle for this story, we got the hours a little mixed up. So we spoke outside on the little terrace. But then a couple days after, I went back and went inside and kind of explored the place, saw how like the atmosphere, you know, and, you know, based on what he told me too, I was kind of just like keeping an eye out for things. And it's a really cool spot. I highly recommend it. They've got great coffee actually on the weekends, Friday through Sunday. They have Kengen coffee. And yeah, it was a cool experience just to sit down and get to know somebody I'd never met before, which is, you know, typical to my job, but different when you're going in with not really like necessarily just a prompt per se. It's just like,
yeah,
I'm getting to know you for the first time.
Well, and what I like about it is you were also getting to know the facility, the organization,
of course,
business.
Yeah.
And so you wrote about not only Kyle, who we'll talk to about it in a second, but also Kaleidoscope itself, which is a great little space. And it looks small from the outside. Mm-hmm. It's pretty big on the inside. And then they have a huge backyard area.
Yes.
So it's a really nice space to do events and go to events and things of that nature. But Kyle himself was a really interesting guy. So he's a regular at Kaleidoscope. And I learned a couple of things I didn't know about as far as computers. And you hear a lot about AI ruining the future. But he had a completely different take on computers and mechanics and the services that he provides.
Yeah. So when I was talking to him about that, I was like, all right, you need to spell this out for me because I'm not really tech oriented. But he actually explained to me that it's not AI. It's kind of a programming that you set prior that is like input by people, but it's not like run by AI. It's just like following the code. And I learned a lot about, you know, how that kind of service that he provides actually can really help people because it's like imagining, you know, like on your computer, you're kind of just filing things over and over and over again. It's such a repetitive task. And it's like, why do that yourself when you can have a computer do what you would be doing 100 times over? And he was sharing with me how that like fulfills him in a lot of ways because he's helping people to essentially do what they want in their day instead of sitting behind a computer all day. And I think that really matches his spirit in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And I got to meet Kyle. I went back to take some pictures of him. And we did talk a little bit about rock climbing because he likes to rock climb as well. Mm-hmm. And in the story, he mentioned Blue Swan Bouldering, which is downtown. But then I also asked him about the new place, High Point, which is over the climbing gym, which is over in the Packing District. So he had just visited there the night before.
Oh, wow.
So we talked a little bit about the height, which is 52 feet high, the walls there, and how that scared me personally. He didn't seem that scared by it.
Yeah, no. He was telling me just so casually how he was like climbing and scaling these huge mountains. And I'm just like, I could never do something like that. I have way too big a fear of heights.
Yeah.
And just kind of how intense these environments that he goes to can be, whether it's, you know, like the cold, the rain, you know, being in the middle of nowhere with no access to technology, which I think is such a funny, you know, divergence from his daily life where he's like all in tech.
All technology, yeah.
So it's kind of a nice like reprieve for him.
So then talking about daredevils and doing crazy things, one of the other stories you wanted to talk about is a daredevil. So is this something you're now finding yourself drawn towards? Are you living vicariously through other people who maybe rock climb or skateboard down the side of a building?
Yeah, it was really interesting. I was just kind of on YouTube on the 25th, and I happened to encounter Red Bull's live footage of Sandro Diaz going, he was going to drop down the side of a building. And what's really cool about this is that the building is a government building in, I forget the place. It's a major city in Brazil. And it's shaped like a quarter pipe. And for so
Except
many decades, people,
taller.
Yes, it's like a really tall quarter pipe shaped government building. And for decades, people were looking at this building like, wouldn't it be so cool to like skate down the side of this? Like it was every skateboarder's dream. And Sandro Diaz at age 50 was like, you know what? I'm going to make that dream a reality. And he did multiple drops off the side of the building. He was building up slowly, but they essentially built this giant ramp on the building on top of the already, you know, existing structure, and had these like little markers of like, okay, this is where he'll start here, we'll move up here, we'll move up here. And it was such an incredible thing to witness, because like every time he would drop down, he'd have like a whole crew come down, move like part of the ramp over, and then they would do like the next one and then the next one. And then at the very end of the ramp, they had like 1800 foam cubes to like catch him, so that he would, you know, like stop and not just like fly off. And it was incredible to witness live. And, you know, you can't really feel the scale of it, because he looks like a little ant on that huge 22-story building. And there was one shot of him that was like right before he was about to drop off. And it was like from the person who was helping like place him there. So it's like a GoPro on that person's chest. And like, you could at that moment really feel the height of the drop. Yeah. And it was just like, oh my gosh, it reminded me so much of, I forget his name, Felix. I can't remember. He was the one who did the Red Bull jump from space.
Yep.
It reminded me so much of like that same feeling, like watching and just like nervous, but like also really excited to see like what's gonna happen.
That's so funny. So do you feel like you're gonna have to wait until you're 50 to do something crazy and drop off a building, or are you gonna do it sooner than that?
No, I mean, I don't know if I will be ever doing something like that. I don't think another human being, I mean, they even asked Tony Hawk, like, would you want to do this? He's like, no. But it inspires me to like take risks and to realize that like life is short, and you gotta have fun, you know, and you gotta like push yourself to the limit, but also like know your limits, because once he hit that like 70 meter drop, he's like, I won't be doing more than that. Like that's, I think, the limit that like human beings can do, especially as a 50-year-old man. But still, it was just really inspiring to see him and his energy, and just the energies of the crowd, of his friends and family who were there to support him. Like they all ran out and like gave him these big hugs and kisses, and it was so sweet.
Nice. We'll put some links to that in the show notes, so you could go see that there. I'll also add some links to the Red Bull Tandem Bike event that was here in Orlando last week as well. So that was going on too. That is much more comedic, because it's people falling off of these crazy tandem bikes that they decorated with a bunch of stuff, usually into the water. And so that's kind of fun. Well, thank you, Juliet. So follow along with Juliet and all the stories that she does at Community Paper Orlando for social media, yourcommunitypaper.com for the website, subscribe to our newsletters, and do all of that stuff. Thank you so much, Juliet.
Thanks for having me. Bye, y'all.